Our study tonight is out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, the believer's stability in Christ's comprehensive supremacy. Today's unsettling, insecure world has led many believers to become unsettled and insecure. So in contrast to today's world, we believers need to focus on the stability and the security that we have in our Lord. The Colossian epistle presents Christ's all-sufficiency and supremacy in ways that settle and provide security. And one way it does is by teaching us of the believer's stability in Christ's comprehensive supremacy. Colossians 1, 15 to 20 teaches this provision, and we view it for our insight and stability in living as follows. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation, or of creation, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things hold together, or consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Tremendous passage. The believer enjoys absolute divine stability in Christ because he is the exact representation of the Father's being. He's the image of the invisible God. That means that like the head of a sovereign imprinted on a coin, Christ exactly represents the Father's being. Remember when Thomas turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said, Thomas, how long have I been with you? And you say, show us the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ was presenting the Father, what the Father was like, what he thought, his heart, his attitude, by every action that he did. When he took the little children and he sat down and he put them on his knee and he put his hands on his head, on their heads, and he blessed them. That's exactly what the Father would have done in that situation. It's what the Holy Spirit would have done in that situation as well. When the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on people, when he rebuked the disciples, all of those actions are actions that are representative of what the Father would do. So Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's being. Now, the believer enjoys stability in God's plan for his existence since Christ preceded the whole creation and is sovereign over it all, applied to the believer and the entire universe in which the believer exists. And verse 15, the latter part says, the firstborn of all creation, literally. I know the King James says every creature, but it should be all creation. So, though some cults translate Colossians 1:15b to make Christ be the firstborn in creation, as a created being, that's what, how the Jehovah's Witnesses take it. The firstborn over all creation is the preferred translation for the Colossians 1:16-20 context reveals the superiority of Christ over all things. Number two, it's also illogical that Christ could create himself. John 1:3 says he created everything that was ever made, and it's logically impossible for a being to create himself. And if Christ were the first one created, the Greek term would be prototokos, the first created, not prototokos, which is the firstborn as it is here. The firstborn in nature, yes, the firstborn is also the first one that comes into being. But the firstborn is also a term that is used for the firstborn who has the firstborn rights or preeminence. And that's how it's used in this context. So firstborn means Christ preceded the whole creation and he is sovereign over it all. So the believer himself, along with all that exists around him in the universe, was both preceded by Christ in time and is under his sovereign control, providing infinite security for the believer's existence. And I think this is an amazing thing. There are many diseases that you and I can get that can do us in. There are many things that could harm us.
I've heard one time of a situation, there was a freight plane that was flying, and a piano fell out of the freight plane, and it went right through the house of a roof, falling like 20,000 feet or 15,000 feet, and went right and landed right in the living room. Fortunately, nobody was killed. Someone was, might have been in the kitchen somewhere else. But, you know, that could have happened. Now, there are any types of events like that that could occur in our lives around us. But the amazing thing is every molecule that exists in the universe is something that was under the sovereign control and was sovereignly made by Jesus Christ, your Lord and my Lord. So you've got tremendous stability. If the Lord wants you to exist X number of years, there's nothing that's going to stop that. If the Lord doesn't want you to get a certain kind of an illness, or if he wants you to get a certain kind of an illness by his will and everything, you can't stop that. So it's really, what we really need to be doing is focusing on the will of God for our lives, because we have complete security and stability in the provision of Jesus Christ, because he's over everything having to do with creation. See, the believer enjoys stability in God's plan for his existence, since Christ also created all things, be they in heaven or on earth, visible or invisible, including thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. Now, principalities and powers refer to angelic beings. Some of those are demonic. So Christ actually created those beings, even though they've turned wicked now. And of the material realm and human beings, of the unseen spiritual realm of human angels, or even of demonic spirits. And verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul one time was assigned a demonic spirit to plague him, to bother him, to keep him humble, so that he wouldn't become proud. Well, that demonic spirit that was assigned to him, that demonic spirit actually had been created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the demonic spirit had fallen and everything, but Jesus knew exactly what the power and what the demeanor of that spirit was. And yet he went ahead and assigned him to Paul so as to make Paul humble, keep him humble. And yet, so he knew it wasn't too much. Now, Paul begged the Lord three times to have it removed from him. The Lord says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is sufficient for you. And because the Lord did that, Paul was able to finish writing more of the epistles. So we are enriched. Otherwise, Paul could have become proud because of the tremendous revelations that he had received from the Lord. And he might have been effectively used of the Lord. We wouldn't have the epistles that we have. So this is all under the control of our Lord. Then, D, the believer enjoys stability in God's plan for his existence, since Christ created all things for himself. So the believer's existence is totally stable in its meeting of Christ's interests for him. Notice 16b, all things are created by him and for him. That's something that we need to understand. We're not created for ourselves. Many times I've heard of young people being told, especially in secular schools and so forth, make something of yourselves, do something with your life, you know, what do you want to do, and so forth. And that's the wrong approach. What we should be saying is, what does God want from me? What does God want me to do? We are not made for ourselves, we're made for God. And we find our satisfaction, we find our ultimate blessing in losing ourselves within the will of God. If the Lord wants you to be in the mission field, that's where you need to be in order to find the Lord's will for your life. If he doesn't, if he wants you in some other location, maybe he wants you in a local church somewhere, maybe he wants you doing a specific occupation in the secular world, that's where you need to be. But the Lord wants to use you. I was just sent an email to a believer I know who was wondering what his role in life is, what the Lord wants for him. And I pointed out, well, God wants to use your spiritual gift in a local church somewhere. So what you need to do is find out that particular niche and fit it. And if you do that, you'll reach the highest goal that God has for you, and that is functioning in regards to other believers. Okay, the believer also, E, enjoys stability in God's plan for his existence, since Christ came before all things in time. The Greek word is pro, which means before in time.
and being the creator, so that no event or party in any event in history can function in any way to disrupt Christ's interest in a given believer's existence. You know, we might think, well, we've been affected because of something that happened back in 1795 in this country, or maybe in 1840 or something. No, Jesus Christ was around before that. He saw those events. He saw them coming down the pike, and they don't take him by surprise at all. F, the believer enjoys stability in God's plan for his existence, since by Christ all things in the created universe hold together, Christ being the constituting or the conserving cause. I think that the threat of open nuclear war was greater when I was a kid growing up. And we lived, I remember, under constant concern that there might be an atomic war between the United States and the Soviet Union. I remember the old phrase of duck and cover, when they had these warnings in school and kids had to duck and get under the desks and so forth years ago. We were in Africa at the time. And I remember when the Cuban Missile Crisis came up, we wondered what was going to happen to us, because if the United States and the Soviet Union got into war, we were stuck way over in Africa. And how could the United States help us then? So our security and so forth was kind of up in the air. But we just had to realize that Christ is the one who conserves. He constitutes the universe. He holds it together. So he determines when there are going to be atom bombs exploding and when they're not. So that's something we need to trust the Lord with. G, the believer enjoys stability in God's plan for his existence and his relationships in the church. For Christ is its head, its beginning, and firstborn from the dead in his resurrection, that he might have the preeminence in the church. In other words, the believer can relax on the church if he yields to God's purpose for his existence there, for Christ to exalt himself through the believer's relationships and functions in the church. That's a marvelous verse, verse 18. He's the head of the body. And that's not only the body in the local church, that's the church universal, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Today I was back in Fellowship Hall. I was thinking about some things that were coming up, and little did I know that there was a conversation that was occurring here in the sanctuary with other people that had direct bearing on what I was thinking back here at the time. And later I found out, because of the conversation that had gone on here in the sanctuary while I was in Fellowship Hall, had direct bearing on it, and someone shared with me what the conversation was. And I was just amazed. I recognized the sovereignty of God involved. I was back here. I was waiting in case anyone came up to ask me questions, but the thing that was a concern or an issue that was on my mind was being addressed out here, and later I found out about it. You talk about the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. He is in complete control of everything, especially regarding to the church. Well, to explain Christ's preeminence in the church, Colossians 1:19 and 20 tells of the Father's acts in Christ's life. God the Father was pleased to have all of his own fullness dwell in Christ, what constitutes one of the most powerful descriptions of Christ's deity in the New Testament. Norm Geisler is the one who wrote this particular commentary out of Colossians. I never had him as a prof, although I've written to him and had corresponded with him. But he's a professional when it comes to apologetics. That's the defense of the Christian faith. He's written some good books in regards to that whole issue. But this is amazing. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't God and God wanted to make sure that Jesus is fully God. No, God wants to make sure that all the fullness of what is embodied in the Father in regards to his administrative authority and everything comes to dwell within Christ. He wants Christ to have the preeminence in everything. And he's doing that because he's rewarding Jesus Christ for obeying him of going to the cross. So the Father wants to exalt his Son. So having made peace through the blood of Christ's death on the cross, God will reconcile all things to himself, be they good angels or redeemed people who are on the earth or in heaven. The commentary indicates that when he says reconciling all things to himself, obviously he doesn't mean demons, and obviously he doesn't mean unsaved people who will end up in hell, but this is talking about good angels and redeemed people. God is going to reconcile all things to himself through Christ. In other words, God will make peace through the blood of Christ so that those of us humans who were once his enemies will become by faith his friends and his children. It's a marvelous passage in Ephesians chapter 2, I put it down here, 11 to 19. According to the eternal purpose, verse 11, chapter 2, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at one time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has broken, made both one, this is Jew and Gentile, made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments ordained in the ordinances, to make in himself of one, of the twain, one new man, that's Christian, so making peace. Amazing what the Lord did. And that he might reconcile unto both unto God and one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both, that's Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Think of it, we were enemies of God, and now we're part of his family, part of the household of God. Amazing thing. So the believer enjoys infinite stability in Christ, since he's a perfect representation of the Father. He preceded the whole creation and its complete sovereign. He created all things, and he did so for himself. He's before all things in time, and he holds all things together as their conserving cause. He's the head, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead in relation to the church, due to the Father's will to make him have the Father's own fullness dwell in Christ, so as to reconcile all good angels and redeem people to himself by the cross. So the believer should then relax in the infinite stability he has in his comprehensively sovereign Lord and live for him. So may we focus on heeding our Savior to enjoy his completely stable blessing in our very existence. Today in Fellowship Hall, I had a believer talk with me. He had just found out that Reverend Joe McNally is planning on retiring, and he'll be resigning sometime, probably in a year or so from within the year from Faith Bible. He's going to be moving and probably ministering somewhere down in the Carolinas. I think he has some children and grandchildren down there. And this believer seemed a bit surprised at first he'd heard about it. Of course, I've known it for a little over a year. And he said, they're going to have to be careful in Faith Bible, aren't they, to get the right kind of a person in there? I mean, that it's difficult to find people who really are true to the Word and true to the Lord. I said, well, that's true. But then, you know, you think about it. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He knows the needs that exist, and he knows the needs that exist in every church. And he always has had his messengers. God's always had his messengers throughout the ages of church history. And he'll have his messengers there when Pastor McNally steps down. Many years ago, when I was still in Bible college and I was started to preach, I filled the pulpit one time in a little church in Vina, California. And I'll never forget, I was in my 20s at the time I was preaching. And after the service, there was an elderly lady who came up to me. And she said, young man, I realize now that God has his messengers in every generation. He's had messengers in my generation, and he's going to use you as a messenger in your generation. And I never forgot that. You know, it's true. And in the next generation, you know, God's going to raise up those who are messengers, and they're going to take the word of God. What we have to do is to trust the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, the supremacy of Jesus Christ over the church, and relax.